and write it upon our hearts and minds in such a way that we can understand how this word has been, is, and will be working in our lives. Make it living, make it real. Transform us, Lord, by your word this morning, because you yourself are in your words. This is how we open up today, Lord. We want to hear, we want to become. That's the faith in our hearts. Meet us, Heavenly Father. Amen. Destined to Be would be the title. Afterwards. It's okay. No, it's all right. Our destiny encompasses two points. Our destiny involves what we do, and I think in the natural, with our minds, we gravitate more to that. We're all very focused on what we do in life, what we don't do. And when we think about a destiny in God and fulfilling our destiny, all of us want this. We're all created with that same drive inside. We want to fulfill the purpose for which we come forth in this on this planet. But when we think about that, we think of what are we going to do to fulfill that. But the other part of destiny, and a more important part, is what we become. That's harder to be aware of, isn't it, with our natural minds? How often do you think during the day about how you're changing or what you're becoming? Probably some. But I bet you more of your thoughts are about what you're doing or what you're not doing or what you need to be doing, right? But destiny from God's perspective has more to do with what we're becoming and what he's working in us than just what we're doing. It doesn't eliminate the factor of what we're doing, but I think for many of us, what the term unfinished business can be a haunting thing, isn't it? You think about what God's done in you, things you've done, but how many here are really not satisfied? No matter what you've accomplished, there's so much more left to accomplish. And time can be a little bit of a torment because time ticks by faster and faster the older you get, and you begin to wonder, well, Lord, I've got all these wonderful words. You know, I thank you for what you've already done, but here's all these prophecies, things I believe for, things people have spoken to me that bear witness to me, and how am I going to have time to do all these things? And the enemy can come in on that and begin to breed, I think, a lot of unbelief and self-doubt, saying, oh, you're not going to be able to do all those things. And don't we fight this battle? You know, what we've done, what we feel we need to do, and am I going to be able to do it? Is God going to perform it? And often from that awareness comes a feeling that if I don't do these things, I'm not pleasing God. If I don't get all these things done. From God's perspective, destiny is what he works in us. I think maybe everyone dies with a little unfinished business. David was a mighty man of God, a man after God's own heart. It says David served God in his generation. Do you think David had a little bit of heartache over not being able to build the temple? Do you remember? A man that loved being in the presence of the Lord. Yet because he was a warrior, God said, you're not going to build this temple, your son Solomon is. He accomplished many great things, but he was not able to build that temple. And I think we look at the Bible and we kind of maybe look through it with rose-colored glasses a little bit. We look and think, well, all these heroes of faith, their lives were so perfect, nothing like ours. I think their lives were very much like ours. We read about great things that God did through them. It doesn't mean there weren't other things that didn't happen that they were believing for. How many prophets, when they saw in the spirit about the coming Christ, in their minds thought, it's going to be in my generation. I'm prophesying it. It's got to happen now. Yet in Hebrews 11, it talks about how they died in the faith, not seeing the promise being fulfilled. You know, I think we should always continue to maintain our hunger of doing more, believing for all that God can do through us, the living works. But don't let the enemy torment you, and don't let that lie come through that somehow whether or not you're doing God's will depends on those works. The real issue is, what is God doing in your heart? And I believe that destiny really has its fulfillment when we allow God to work the sacrifices within us that his love brings. the brokenness. Joseph, now he did some great things, didn't he? You remember how with the process he had to go through, 13 years imprisoned and going through various hardships. From the time he was 17 and had a vision of ruling over his family, it was a long road till he was at Pharaoh's right hand, and actually that word came to pass. And we can look and say, well, what? Look, at it, it came to pass. He went through hard times, but Joseph did walk in that authority. But how much greater was the fulfillment of God's will in his heart? All those years of hardship worked in Joseph a compassion that he could not have gotten any other way. His brothers betrayed him. They left him for dead. Yet years later, when those same brothers came because there was a famine in the land and they needed help, Joseph looked at them and it says he wept with compassion. Where was the sense of revenge? It would be natural for him to want to kill his brothers. You did that to me, now look at me, I've got power, I'll get you. There was none of that in him because God had worked his love in Joseph's life. There was a sacrificing of Joseph's ego that had taken place during the years of hardship. That was God's will and destiny being fulfilled in Joseph. If that had not happened, and Joseph would have been in the natural state, just like a natural person, bent on revenge, thinking they hurt me, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, whatever. Had he put his brothers to death, the destiny of Israel would have been altered, right? Those were God's people. He would have actually been an obstacle to God's will. So the issue for Joseph was not simply that vision coming to pass of him having authority over his family. The only way God's will could truly be done was he had to have God's heart worked in him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have let his family live to go on to be the people of God that we read about throughout the Old Testament. That was the nation of Israel that came forth. So it's what God works in us. Same thing with Jesus, isn't it? For God so loved the world, he gave his son. We think about Jesus, he did God's will. He did all these wonderful works. He did God's will because he went to the cross and died for us. He sacrificed his life, and that was God's will. In dying, he was resurrected, and the plan of God was fulfilled for the human race. That inner sacrifice of our own ego that love brings is what destiny is all about. Let this saturate you, because our minds are so set another way. Our minds are filled with the great things we need to do. And the Holy Spirit is trying to make us aware of the person we are becoming because of what he's working within us. And often when our ego is being sacrificed, we don't recognize it as God working in us. When God's Spirit is disrupting our plans, our agenda, often we're praying against it. This isn't right. These circumstances aren't right. God, I want this. I want that. How often can we be petitioning the Lord, asking him to change things when it's by his hand those very things are happening within our life? Because we have our mindset on doing certain things and something is happening to disrupting our plans. God forbid. Our agenda is not happening. So we begin to petition God, and God is saying, I'm at work within you. Your ego is being sacrificed by my love working in your heart. But because of that, you're becoming who I want you to become. And that's what destiny is all about. That is my will for you. God give us eyes to see his hand in our lives. And instead of always fighting everything we don't like, let's say, Lord, what's going on inside me? If it's your hand, I don't want to fight. If it's the enemy, yes, I'll pray and together we'll see every harassment leave. But if it's your Holy Spirit working, I don't want your Holy Spirit leaving. Like Jesus prayed, thy will be done. That's all we can pray. Philippians chapter 2. Here's a passage that deals with fulfillment of destiny. Verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him. Okay, this is Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. What's destiny all about? He emptied himself of his God-given right. He became a bondservant. He put his deity aside and said, because of my love for you, for all of us, I'll go to the cross and die. The sacrifice of love is what fulfilled Jesus Christ's destiny. If it hadn't been his willingness to sacrifice his life, he would not have fulfilled the will of the Father. And Paul has the same attitude in verse 17. He says, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. What's Paul's life all about? He saw himself being poured out. What's that all about? Emptying himself. The humility. The sacrificing of the ego. Why? Because of God's love working within him for our sake. In another place, Paul says, death works in me that life might manifest in you. That's destiny. Why would it be any different for us? Why would our destiny involve just doing all these great exploits? It might involve that. Maybe you'll work miracles. Maybe you'll bring a word to heal the nations. Who knows? There's no limitation to what the Holy Spirit can do through his people. We all have many words, and we're believing those words. God's Spirit will fulfill those words. But what destiny is all about is each one of us, no matter what our calling, no matter what our gifts, will sacrifice our ego for his name's sake and for the sake of his people. Isaiah 61, Jesus describes, and again in Luke, his ministry, the Spirit of God is upon me. Everybody familiar with that? To preach, to heal, set the captives free. But what meaning would all of those wonderful works would have had he not gone to the cross? All the miracles, all the healings, raising people from the dead, what meaning would that be to us, have to us today, had he not sacrificed himself and died for us? It's the sacrifice of God's love in our lives that gives our works meaning. Can you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16? This chapter Jesus, in verse 21, is talking about going to the cross, his death, and what he must suffer. Verse 22, Peter pulls him aside and rebukes him, saying, God forbid it, this will never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Now, Peter was not opposing all the great things that Jesus was doing, was he? He had no problem with the miracles. He had no problem with the healings. What Peter was opposing in his own natural thinking was that Jesus Christ had to sacrifice his greatness, because Jesus was hero. This was their king. This was the guy that was going to get rid of the Roman oppression. This is the guy that was going to change everything. And these disciples that were following these, I guess I would say nobodies. I mean, they weren't necessarily important people, were they? All of a sudden, they were important. They were in the right place at the right time, following the right person. And this person starts talking about suffering and death. And, you know, Peter's saying, no, that doesn't happen to you. That happens to the bad guys. Not to you. See, the human mind can easily fantasize about great things, but how hard it is for the human mind to embrace the suffering that we must go through, the brokenness, the humility, the sacrifice that we must make, the sacrifice of our ego. Oh, the mind doesn't want to do that. And that's what Peter was struggling with. His mind did not want to accept that his Lord, the person he loved more than anyone else, would have to die. Yet what was the will of God all about? Jesus going to that cross. Because without that cross, all his works would not have meaning to us. You know, he could have healed a few people, raised a few dead, and just gone down his history as another great man, someone that had a special gift. But he lives in history as a redeemer of all. He lives in history as the one that changed everything. You think of the impact of what he did. Hebrews, I can just read this to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Here's Jesus Christ. He said, "Behold, I have come to do thy will." Okay, his will is going to the cross. "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And if you read in Hebrews what this new covenant's all about, because he did the will of the Father, he sacrificed himself for us, everything changed. Up to that point, we were under law, right? Under a law that condemned sin. Up to that point, nobody could keep that law. And it speaks in the Word about it itself. It says nobody can keep the law, right? It's impossible to do. Jesus said, if you break even one of the laws, you've broken the whole thing. Well, you know how many laws there are? We're not talking 10 commandments here. We're talking multitudes of laws. Just being human, just in a human state means you're going to break a ton of laws. So here's the human race under this law that it cannot do, and the law says if you don't do it, you're going to be judged. Here comes a man, Jesus, that says, I'm going to lay down my life. And you read in John 10, he said, nobody takes my life from me. He goes, I'm doing this because I want to do it. It's my choice. And by my laying down my life for you and sacrificing and going to the cross, verse 10, once and for all, you will have been sanctified. Something the law could not do for any of us. By Jesus Christ dying and being raised from the dead, we are considered sanctified in God's eyes because of his sacrifice. All of a sudden, this law that couldn't be fulfilled, that was standing as a judgment to the human race, Jesus said, I have fulfilled the law. Remember? He takes that law upon himself and says, you guys can't do it. I'm doing it. Now you're free. The age of grace begins. Now, because of what he's done, God does not relate to us through the law anymore, does he? It's a new age, new heavens, new earth. God relates through his Son. The veil has been rent. There's no longer separation. God says, I don't relate to you if you have to perform to get my approval. Because of what my Son has done, I approve of you. We can be one. Tremendous, tremendous blessing. We can't even in any way in our mind appreciate how much has been done for us. But where did it come from? Because one individual named Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice his life for our sake. That's what destiny is. Again, let's make it personal. When we think about our destiny, don't get lost in all the great exploits you want to do. The sacrifice of your ego for his name's sake, allowing his Spirit to work in you, that divine love, and being willing to empty yourself and humble yourself. What comes out of that? Look what came out of Jesus Christ, life for us all. What comes out of you when you do that is the life of Christ for others. It's that power of the Spirit that unwraps the grave clothes from your brother and sister, where they can truly be free in the Lord. That same resurrected life flows from you when you're willing to sacrifice your own ego and be humble before him. Destiny, this is what we're becoming. And out of this becoming, like the Son, it says, have this attitude in yourself that Jesus had, I know will come the living works that'll change the world. Out of this sacrifice of love within his people will come works that will heal and deliver, exploits like we've never seen before. But the destiny centers on what God is doing in the human heart. Let's not lose sight of that. That's where the power of God is. Amen. Let's stand.
Scripture says in the old king, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death.
That's right. That's right.
The overcoming part that you're talking about, all these other exploits, that comes from that.
Yeah. Lord, make us aware of specifically what you're doing in each and every one of our hearts. We ask for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Earlier we were singing, we were welcoming you. Holy Spirit, come. We ask you to come and make us aware and convict us that we can see clearly your hand within our lives, that we can stop resisting the work of the cross, resisting, Father, your love at work within us. In our natural minds, none of us want to be humble. But Lord, our cry today is not coming from our mind, it's coming from our heart. We desire that same humility, that same experience of emptying ourselves out so that your divine destiny can be fulfilled in our lives. And out of us, out of our innermost being, can flow life. Life to others. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.